Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Yes! I'll tell you, how about last weekend? And I'm counting Monday as a part of that. How about last weekend? Anybody here last weekend? Man, let me just tell you, if that's church, I'm never missing again. There's people that came up to me and said Tuesday morning they woke up and thought, what do I do now? Oh my gosh, it was just some of the most powerful ministry. It's a powerful time I've ever had. And in the 9:30 service, it hit me again, and I text Denny and Gustavo and Ricardo. If you weren't here, it's on the internet, and I think most of it is uncut, unedited, maybe a little bit. But I'll just tell you, it was more than moving. It was life-changing. Anybody agree with me on that? I mean, just shoot. And really, we should have just put like a GoPro on Jeremy through the whole thing. He just giggled and had the time of his life through the whole thing. It was like old home week for him. Matter of fact, I'm really shocked that he's here right now and he didn't just go down to Bogota and move in. And but what a great time. You guys did such an incredible, we're an incredible example of just American believers to those guys. You know, Gustavo doesn't have a lot of history with American believers, and most of it is pretty traditional, charismatic type churches. And then he came here, and he literally asked me. He said, "Why don't all the churches in the country just do it like this?" And I said, "I don't know. They're just." Couple things. Powerful time. And with that, I just want to communicate to you that we are not personal word seekers. Please don't like get on the internet and find out where the nearest prophet is and try to go get a personal word. I'm telling you, don't do that. Okay. We're not that kind of people. All right. I believe that was God ordained. I believe we're going to bring him back. He's going to be a voice in this church. But I know that a lot of times some types of people are susceptible to that. Don't go seeking a word, all right? Don't go hunt one, number one. Number two, if you did get a word or you got some directive of the Lord, something that you know in your heart was maybe rekindled or activated in your life, it's going to come to you. Don't use the arm of the flesh and try to make something happen. Don't try to scratch and claw or build your own deal. Unless the Lord build the house, those who labor in vain. And it's going to come to you. I'm just telling you. And let me tell you what prophecy does in our life, okay? It's edification, exhortation, and comfort. Man, what it does is, man, it builds us up. It motivates us toward God, but it also comforts us because there's sacrifice involved in it. Man, any of the next steps that you're going to take in your life toward God, there's going to be personal sacrifice. That's why Paul just said this, and in Romans he said, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. There's a sacrifice in all this. And man, God's hands in your life, just know that. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you, all right? So it's gonna come your direction. Speaking of that, I just want to let you know on a personal note with me and my family here that Pastor Sandy's in a health battle right now. And I just want you guys to know, because I feel a responsibility in my life to example this walk and this life that we talk about and that God's called us to live. And in that, though, as an example, I'm just telling you what I do when there's a report or there's symptoms or there's things that happen in our lives. I find that place of faith, okay? And when I find that place of faith, I'm going to stand. And the Bible says, what does it say, Taylor? To stand, and having done all to stand, you stand therefore. And we're going to take a stand. And that a stand of faith, because to me, this isn't a battle of health and a battle. It's not. That's kind of a sidebar to it. It's a battle of faith. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. So I'm telling you, man, we're singing hallelujah, and it's like, devil, man, I want to whistle and say, devil, heads up, listen up here. And my hands are up, and I'm trusting God, and I am absolutely, I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's where we are. I'm just telling you. And I tell you that what I'm going to ask you to do is, please, we've got so much support. Last weekend was so incredible. But I don't know the other way to put it, but give our family some space with it. All right? We know you love us. We know you care. Take that stand of faith. We don't compromise. We don't negotiate. We don't settle. We are not cowards. It's cowardice to say, well, why is this happening, or what's going on, or what's... No, the whole idea, here's how I look at it. It's a light affliction. And there's an eternal way to glory that is going to absolutely, that his blessings come upon us and overtake us. And that's where we are. And I'm telling you, we've got the victory. And really, honestly, she's watching right now, so I'm gonna see her after the service, and she's gonna. Here's the bottom line. How many of you guys know Sandy? I don't get by with much. And we're not leaving the door open for the enemy anywhere, and I'm just telling you that. And it's interesting because Monday night, how many got, like Monday night on a scale of 10, you guys that were here, it was off the charts, right? Well, Monday night at 7 o'clock, I'm sitting in my house thinking, I don't want to go. I've never been like that. I want to be here. I want to be right here. I want to be involved in I want to hear everything. I want to see everything. I want to experience everything. I want to be a part of the atmosphere. I'm on the team, okay? But at 10 after 7, I got in my truck and made myself come. And so glad that I did. And I know you guys have to do that once in a while. And the only reason I say that is because, yeah, I had a personal deal where it's like, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. And this is where I'm supposed to be. So when you take a hit, let me tell you, sometimes if you stumble into sin, or you're tempted and you succumb to that temptation, and you feel awkward about coming to church, don't feel awkward. This is where you need to be. Man, let me just tell you, I think what this church characterizes is, you who are without sin, cast the first stone, sucker. That should be added in the original text. No one's going to judge anybody, but I want you to know that I'm counting on you guys. What you can do is, of course, pray and speak God's word and proclaim God's promise in Sandy's life, my life, in our family, and people that God puts on your heart. But the other thing is that you step up. You really, honestly, that's probably the biggest thing, that the biggest help that you can be, because the bottom line is, this is where we get our hope. This has got to stay strong. This has got to get better. This has got to be growing. It's our mantra. And I believe that's what you can do. What you can do is simply show up. Aren't you glad Jordan showed up today? Man, I'm glad Sheldon shows up. I mean, there's people that are just a force in my life just because they show up. And I believe that our availability to God is going to really enhance our lives. So, probably left some unanswered questions, but I want to move on. I want to preach today. Okay? And also, I'm telling you, I'm preaching with somewhat of a heavy heart. But let me tell you, it's not going to stop me. Man, I've got a word of the Lord for you. It's going to be life-changing today. And there's an assignment on my life today that is directed toward y'all, and I want you to receive it wholeheartedly, okay? So can you give me 20 minutes? Huh? The God kind of life provides us with unlimited life, okay? And I know that sounds like a broken record, but I'm gonna communicate it today in a sense that really, honestly, it's gonna be easy for you to catch and run with and to go score and win. But there's an unlimited life for us. Listen to this. In John 12, verse 25, Jesus said this: he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life, in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, why in the world would Jesus be so emphatic about this? Why would Jesus use the terminology? It's even stronger than the English word hate. What he said, the original text, is even stronger than that we've got to abhor it. The reason Jesus said we've got to hate our life is because the life that we live without him brings limits with it. There are natural lids that operate in our lives. How many of you guys sense that in your life, that there's a natural lid that operates in your life and a limit to your life where, man, you could go so far and you could do so much and you could excel to a certain level and then it stops? Well, let me tell you, Jesus said we've got to hate that. We've got to abhor that. We have to be around people, and I'm telling you, regularly, I mean, solid doses of people in our lives and be in the right situations to keep our dreams alive. I'll tell you, there's something that God's put in your heart that life happens, and it kind of buries that stuff and begins to suffocate it. Man, what I want to do, and I'm telling you, in the next probably 6 or 7 weeks, I want to motivate you to put your aim on that dream that God's put in your heart. Man, that's why, that the whole idea, Gustavo, what he said, it was so cheesy. If you'd have read a transcript of what he said, you'd have thought, yeah, that's just cheesy church talk. No, you know what? What he said was that the measure of your miracle will be consistent with the measure of your praise. And I'm like, oh, we'll see if that goes over at Guts. And the place erupts. People go crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I keep thinking about that. Man, I'll be driving right now. And let me tell you, what I've become just expert at is bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Every single thought. Because, man, you start looking at things and you take things. Let me tell you what's heinous is when we look at things at face value. What's the face value in this situation? It's like, well, shoot. Oh my gosh. Man, you let the train of thought like that go and that become your mindset. Man, there's going to be a reinforced concrete lid in your life that you'll never break through. But see, we've got to look at our lives now and realize that man, God's called us and our life's purposed now. We live a purposeful life now. And no matter how things look, we have to be around people and we have to be in a situation that keeps our dream. That's why church is so important. Man, if you're going to a church over here that's got great music and a church over here that's popular in social media and a church over here that's got cool people and a church over here. No, you know what? You got to pick it. You got to find a place to plant your life. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Let me just tell you, man, just find one and plant your life there. Man, I talked to somebody after the service. I stood by the entrance and the exit as people came and went between services. And a girl came up and 40 years old now, came to the church before we even moved. She was a teenager when she came to the church and she got married and her husband went as far away from God as humanly possible, and it struggled because she was force-fed church as a kid, and she didn't want to do that with her kids, but brought her kids here last week. And it's interesting because what everybody talked about last weekend was the prophet was here, and Gustavo, and how powerful the services that we had, and she didn't even mention that. You know what she said? I'm so thankful for your kids department because my kids left saying, I don't ever want to miss church. I want to be here every time. And see, we have to look at our lives and understand that the way this works. How many of you guys want this to work? You just have to be here. You got to plant yourself here. See, once you plant, like right now, I have no choice. Last Monday, I didn't want to be here. Where was I? I was here. Oh, man, I'm so thankful I was here. Yeah, you know what? I could have felt sorry for myself. I could have felt sorry for Sandy. I could have, the whole thing. But you know what? Heck no. Don't feel sorry for us. I'm telling you what, we're built for this. See, we fight the good fight of faith. We're not running from a fight. Man, I'm running toward a fight. You put Jordan up here singing hallelujah, I want to whistle and say, hey, devil, how about sitting on the front row and taking some of this in the teeth? How about that, huh? Let me tell you what Jordan is. Jordan's a dadgum weapon in the kingdom. See, we've got to understand that. How many guys that song blessed you? Oh, because of her talent. No, I'm telling you, man, the fight in that voice. Man, one thing that Gustavo said, he said, Guts Church does not have a language of pain. Yeah, you know what? We take a hit and we don't get off course. Man, we're going to stay vigilant and we're going to stay ready and we're going to stay on time and we're going to fulfill our responsibilities and we're going to see the glory of God, right? Man, that's the whole idea of this. Are you intentional about moving toward your dream? Listen, it's not that you're a bad shot, but if you're missing the target, it's because you're a bad aim. You've got to aim things. You got to point your life toward the trajectory, toward that place that you want to be. It might be a place out of debt. It might be a place of health. It might be a loving marriage. You understand that you can direct your marriage, you can step your marriage to that healthy, happy place? Do you understand you can? And we've got to be those people. There are times when your circumstances are going to be inconsistent with your dreams. Your circumstances might be inconsistent with the word you received last weekend. That doesn't matter. The devil's going to try to reduce your life to your circumstances. See, your circumstances are a lie. We don't trust what we see, right? We don't trust how we feel. We trust God's word. Matter of fact, every word that comes out of the mouth of God, that's what we trust. Every single one. Man, how many of you guys have a hunger for God's promise? Man, so many people, they die young and they live miserable lives because they just don't know. Well, we have to know to be able to let people know. Man, I don't get up here and preach things I've heard. Matter of fact, I'm talking to Jeff Perry this morning, man, and he's praying and I'm praying and I said, hey, let me bounce this off you. And I bounced this unlimited life off him. And I said, look, and he starts proclaiming God's promise by the dozens on the promise God's given us that our life would be unlimited. There'd be a limitless life in front of us. But now, you know what? Man, we've got to convince ourselves, and sometimes we've got to force ourselves to force our minds there to bring every thought of the captivity of Christ. I've got to grab a hold of every single thought these days. Well, that's just the plan of God. But we never allow our circumstances to change what God's put in our hearts. Don't allow that. Man, make sure that, man, that what God's put in your heart, that becomes your aim. You know, in Habakkuk, Kennedy or Brooklyn, can you guys grab a mic and read it out of the Amplified? I don't think I have that. But just read Habakkuk 2:3. The New King James says, you know, the vision's for an appointed time. I'm going to have them read it out of the Amplified. Like, sooner than later.
Sorry. For the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries towards the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay.
Man, this word, this dream, this vision is for an appointed time. Even though it feels like it's going to delay, it feels like that there's a delay to it. It won't tarry. It's not going to delay. It's absolutely going to come in the name of Jesus. Can anybody shout for that? Yeah. See, man, this, your marriage, man, let me tell you, it's worth fighting for. Your health is worth fighting for. Your ministry is worth fighting for. This church is worth fighting for. See, that's the people who, your children are worth fighting for. Man, let me just tell you, the devil's going to try to drag you through the mud about your kids. You got to find that place of faith and say, let me tell you, I'm going to take my stand right here. This is where I take my stand. This is where I drive my stake in the ground. My children will live. My children will fulfill God's purpose. My children will live long, fulfilled lives in Jesus' name. Anybody said?
Amen.
And then whatever thought is contrary to that, you know what you do? You're able to pull down the strongholds that try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. See, but we've got to know what God what God thinks about this and where God is on this thing. Man, what's God's what does God's word promise about your children? Man, what are the next steps from where you are to unlimited life? Because can I help you? I said steps plural, it may be one step. It's not going to be more than two or three steps. For most of you, it may be one step. One step, you might be one step from a limitless life, from an unlimited life. You know, I'll tell you how I break it down. Like the devil, he can't kill you. Do you know that? Some of you guys may come in here and go, man, the devil killed so-and-so. It's like, no, the devil can't kill anybody. The devil has, all of his armament has been taken. All he can do is lie and deceive, okay? See, so he can't kill you, so what he can do is he can draw you out of the light into the dark. And a darkened life is death. It's synonymous with death. See, light is life. And that's why the God is light. And that light is now on and in our lives. See, so the devil may have just lured you out of the light into the dark. And see, what you've got to do is you've got to stay in the light. What does the word say? What does Isaiah 60 say? Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord. Now listen to this. The light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Not God. See, we're thinking, well, no, God keeps his glory for him. No, God, when we give God glory, he shines it on us. We're partakers in that glory with him. The arise, shine, for your light, the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So you know what? I believe that's your household. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, okay? No duh. And deep darkness the people. Well, there you go. Matter of fact, right now, because of this darkness, God put it in my heart this morning to pray for our law enforcement. So I'm going to do that right now. God, I pray for the police, the sheriff's department, the National Guard, our soldiers. God, I come against right now any kind of heinous foul play. God, I thank you that there'll not be a cop shot. There'll not be a deputy shot. God, I pray a hedge of protection upon the exiting police chief, the new police chief. God, the sheriff, all the deputies, all the police officers. God, I thank you right now that Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the surrounding area will not have a cop shot in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go back to verse 2 in Isaiah 60. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness shall the people. But the Lord will arise over, listen, over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. See how personal this became to God with you? See, we need to be around people that expect us to be limitless. And you know what? Where else are you going to get that? Right here. Man, you're around people right now. I'm around people. There's an expectation of people that are around me in this church to live an unlimited life. So you know what? I don't have a language of lack. I don't have a language of doubt. There's no unbelief that's going to come out of my mouth. There's no unbelief that can rattle around in my head. Anything that it tries to exalt it against itself against the knowledge of God, you know what I do? I apprehend it and I kick it out. See, I'm not going to let those thoughts prevail in my life. See, I have a word of the Lord from you. I have a word of the Lord for you today. And the Lord, I was praying for this service yesterday, and the Lord, just clearly as could be, the word of the Lord I have for you is stop selling yourself short. Stop it. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Stop selling yourself short because of your circumstances or the situation in your life. And then you know what? The very next verse, you know what Paul pens? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take a picture of that screen. Take that to heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Oh, you're never going to have a baby. Really? She's got three. Nina, I'm sorry. You're never going to be able to have kids. Well, you know what? Maybe we could adopt. Maybe we can foster some kids. Or you know what? Maybe we just have three kids. How about that? You want to have three? Have three. See, that's the whole point with this whole thing. What the enemy means for bad, what the world's going to tell you no for, let me tell you who God introduced himself as in the Old Testament. He said, hey, I've checked the whole earth. Stop looking for another God. There's no other gods. I'm it. Okay? Pay attention to me. And then you know what he said? I'm not a yes and no God. I'm a yes God. And then you cross-reference to the new covenant, and his promises are yes and amen. He'll not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. He's a yes God. He's always yes to his promise. In James, the first chapter and the second verse, he writes and says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or you're in a fight. Man, count it all joy when your faith is tested, knowing that the testing of your faith, now listen, produces patience. Man, with your wife, be patient. That's how you can honor your wife, fellas. Your children, be patient. Patience is aggressive. Patience is not passive. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Listen, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience, no lack. Patience, unlimited favor. Patience, limitless life. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Man, you go to work tomorrow? I say, man, how you doing? I'm fine. I don't lack a dadgum thing. They say, what, you don't have a car payment? Sure I do. And all my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we don't negotiate. We don't compromise. There's going to be an impasse. I'll tell you, politically, our political leaders, as big a mess as things can be, they've learned compromise is hard. Compromise doesn't work so good. Man, for me, here's how I negotiate personally. A house, a truck, a whatever. I have a number. Here's my number. I say, well, that's a little short, okay? I have one marriage in my life, and that's with Sandra Lee Shear. I'm not marrying a house. I'm not marrying a truck. Matter of fact, I had a truck that I really liked. I really did. I had it dialed in. It had a few little scars. Had some miles on it, just replace the tires and change the oil and drive it like you stole it. That's what I say. And then someone did steal it. You know what I'm not saying about my new truck? I'm not saying drive it like you stole it. Stop selling yourself short. please, would you? I'm not going to be all sweet like Jeremy said. If you want to raise your hands, or if you're comfortable raising your hands, stop selling yourself short. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's not a fairy tale. That's dead gum truth. Then the devil's going to say, no, you know what? I'm going to throw this in her face so that maybe she'll take her eye off the prize. Maybe he won't look at the target anymore. So you know what? Man, you take all these shots in life and you keep missing the target. You know why? Because you're not really aiming at it. You're aiming at all kinds of other little things. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you've got to take aim. You got to find the life of purpose. You got to live that life of purpose. And every step of your life, that's what you take toward that life of purpose. Otherwise, you know what? There is zero fulfillment. I didn't want to come to church last Monday. Hundreds of other people were like that too. But you know what I did? I didn't cower out. I didn't tap out. I got in the truck and I went. Oh, but my heart weighs 1,000,000 pounds. You know what I told myself? Get over it. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. Be with who you're supposed to be with. Out of all the services we ever had in the church, that's not one I'd want to miss. Yet I didn't want to go. So you know what I did? I had to make myself. See, for you, when you don't feel like coming to church, you got to get your butt in the truck and come. Is that clear? I can't be any more clear. You got to make yourself. You don't feel like reading the word, you make yourself. Man, we find life. That's what it's not a road map. It's not an owner's manual. It's life. Let me tell you, I know that as well as anybody right now. There's life and there's death. Choose life. Where am I going to find life? In God's word. What am I going to think about? God's word. What am I going to read? God's word. What am I going to speak? God's word. What am I going to sing? God's word. Jordan, get back up on that stage. Every time I say sing today, I'm going to think of Jordan Vai. Put a loop on. When the devil's messing with you, hallelujah. When your circumstances don't line up, big deal. When there looks like there's no end in sight, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't buy into this life for a light at the end of the tunnel. Can I tell you that? You know what I bought into? Church. Well, it's not all about church. Yes, it is. Jesus gave his life for what? The church. When Jesus ascended to heaven, what did it usher? The church. Jesus, what did Jesus say he was going to build? The church. Man, if the gates of Hades are prevailing against you, do the math. It's simple math. You're leaving the church out. Sometimes you don't feel like it, huh? Get over yourself. When you were a kid, you thought like a kid. You talked like a kid. You act like a kid. I don't want to go. Are we there yet, mommy? No, when I became an adult, guess what? I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know why? My wife is depending on it. My children depend upon it. My grandchildren depend upon it. If I don't fulfill God's purpose, oh, God's going to have to find somebody else. You've been around a while, right? How many of me are there out there? No, Taylor's known me. He knows me as well as anybody. Every week he goes, "What are you? Who are you? Why would you say it like that? People don't talk like that, Dad." It's like, yeah, that's because I'm me. There's one of me, sir. There's one of me. This is, if it ain't good enough, too bad. This is as good as it gets. You got to go find something else. But the bottom line is, you got to be true to yourself. I'm begging you. You got to find that target. You got to set aim at that target. And you got to take your shot, man. You gotta pull that hammer back and pull that trigger and hit that target. And you know what? You might say, man, I'm too far from it. Get a little closer. That's what God says. He says this. He says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So man, you got that target in your sight, you're like, man, that's a long shot. Man, I'm gonna get a little closer, and it gets a little closer. You get a little closer, it gets a little closer. You get a little closer, it gets a little closer. Next thing you know, it's just like this. You're not gonna miss then. We don't miss. See, that's why you're here. Because God's called you not to miss. God's called whatever lids in your life, whatever limits in your life, that there's not a lid or limit in your life. That's the only reason you're here. No limits. Limitless life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That sounds so goofy. Try me. Freaking try me. I would have lost heart if I hadn't have believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guess what this is right here? It's a land of dead gum living. You hear me? See, I'm preaching right now because Sandy's watching. This is the land of the living right here. Everybody say, this is the land of the living right here. Say it again. Say it again. Sing something, Jordan.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.